The thought that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart just really builds on what we heard this morning. So this can just be a addendum or part two or section B, whatever you might call it. But the title I write on the board here says, "The Lord hath need of thee." I intend to be brief this afternoon, so I hope to be able to hold to that. I have a very simple thought, but one that I believe is necessary in the battle that we have with the enemy today. He attempts to distract and to discourage us in the places where the Lord would have us to labor, the areas that He calls us to. And I appreciated the thoughts that were given on the fervency and the passion for the work of the Lord. And one of the ways that the enemy undermines that is to get us to look at our own inefficiencies, to look at our own inabilities, to look at the circumstances of life, maybe even our history or our past, and try to keep us in a place where we're ineffective and don't feel the passion or we don't feel the inspiration of what God would have us to share with those that are around us. I'd like to read an account in Luke in the 19th chapter. We're going to take our inspiration this morning from a donkey. So in Luke and in the 19th chapter, in the 29th verse here, things like this amaze me because as a adult, a businessman, whatever you might want to call it, usually you have investments in things and you know where they're at and you know their value. And you don't just leave them lying around, and when someone comes along and says they need it, you don't just, okay, no problem, take it, it's yours. Not typically anyway. But if you read in this Luke and in the 19th chapter, in the 29th verse, it says, "And it came to pass when he had come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount they called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which ye are entering, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And then they brought Jesus the colt." And this little section of the story inspires me because of all the things that had to line up in order for this to come about. This was a special colt, and if you read on down in this account, it carried Jesus in to where they treated him like a king. And they waved the branches, and they cried Hosanna, and they rejoiced in the entry of the king into the city. So it was very necessary for this turn of events, for this colt to be in this place at this time, for the hearts of those that owned it to be in the place that they would gladly turn loose of it, there was a preparation that was made, a pre-adornment or preordained circumstances or sequence of events that this colt would be in the right place. And I think often in life we begin to lose maybe sight of the details or what God is working by the everyday minutiae. But we find that God has a plan and an inspiration for most everything that we have going on around us. Brother Marty mentioned this morning the homeless man he picked up and some of the events that occurred during those times. And there's no doubt in my mind that the traffic lights that he hit and the different things that he encountered on his way to pick up that man were in order and set in place that event could take place long before he ever started on the road. And I remember Brother Veda McMillan giving an account of going to the store and some misfortunes that he encountered on the way, but he was convinced that the checker that he met that day at the supermarket was one that needed to hear something that he had to share that morning. And it inspired me even as a young boy that, and One of my greatest difficulties in life is probably patience. I wasn't born with it. It's not natural. Something that the Lord has to continually work on me with. But I find that the Lord has His timing, and He has His purpose, and He has His placement for us to meet the people and to be in the situations that we find ourselves. And our tendency, I think, as humans is to look at maybe the difficulty or the circumstances that we're in, rather than to look for the need that the Lord has for us in the places that we find ourselves. And in this specific place, this colt bleeding, it was prepared for a moment and for an hour, for this time. And you have some of the horses and different things that are around that have great honor or prestige or different things that they did. But here is this little colt, never a man sat upon it, yet it carried the King of all the universe throughout the city. It was prepared and ordained by God. I thought of the different examples. We won't take time to read them all, but I wanted to bring a few to your memory, to turn your mind to them. I thought of the three Hebrew children that found themselves in a moment of great difficulty. And I don't believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego figured that they would ever be in the place that they found themselves. But you could say that in their life, the Lord had need of them to present an example, to present a commitment and a consecration. And we may look at that and may say, well, we don't have the decrees and we don't stand in the face of the difficulties like they did in a very open sense. But in reality, it's very similar to us today. Much of what we hear in society, much of what is around us, there's just as much pressure for us to bend and to conform and to follow the step and status quo of what's around us. And yet there is a message for us even in their story that the Lord has need of us in our time. And you may not always see and understand why, and that particular story recounted some young men. And some of our young people that are here this afternoon and the situations that you find yourself in, you may not fully understand the purpose, may not fully understand all the hows or the reasons. But I can assure you this afternoon that God has a calling for you in the place where you're at. That there's a message to be preached, a message to be lived, an example to be lived, and a standard and a message to hold to in spite of the pressure that's around us. It doesn't change just because you get older. Sometimes we talk about peer pressure as if it's just something that's reaped upon our young people. But we face it throughout life in every age and in every season. And these times of trial that we face when we're young only prepare us for the times and trials of later in life. I thought of the widow with the cruse of oil, and Elijah was hungry. He had been taken from place to place. Arise and go to Zarephath happened just before that. And then he come to this lady, and you remember her belief and her declaration was that she was going to bake a cake for her son, and then they were going to lay down and die. And in her mind, this is all that she had left. This was the full extent. Very different maybe than the Hebrew children in that they had their whole life in front of them. They had much to offer, maybe many dreams. For her, it was what she thought was a very short amount of time. The natural that she looked at, the resources that were available to her, the things that weighed upon her mind is that oil on that meal no doubt began to dwindle over the days and weeks as they ate from it. And now it was the end, and this was a time for her that this was going to be the last meal. But yet you find Elijah essentially told her, the Lord hath need of thee this day. He has a purpose for you yet. And if she would follow his command and bake the cake for the prophet, there found a sustenance, a renewance, a continued time, a period that God was able to bless and to anoint. Our capacity as humans is we look at the natural. We look at what we can do with the things that we put our hands on. I don't say that to beat us over the head, except to understand our humanity. And to realize that when the devil brings things that would appear as so difficult, or that the resource is limited, or even in our own capacity, in our own capability, that there's an end to it. Because there is. It's logical. There's no doubt that the things that we have control over and access to have an end to them. They have a certain capacity, and that's it. I can only go so far. But I thought of also, you remember when Jesus fed the 4,000, and you'll read in there that after he fed them, they left all the bread and the fish there. And they got in the boat and left, and Jesus began to expound to them to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they purposed in their heart, they said, it's because we didn't bring the bread. That's why he's saying this to us. You see how, I mean, they just beheld a miracle where Jesus took just a few loaves and a few fishes and fed 4,000. He didn't need the fragments of bread. He could have caught a fish out of the water. The natural of what was available had no bearing whatsoever on their natural necessity. And his real desire was to put something in their heart for them to understand what they were really in for and the needs that were before them and the capacity that he could use them. But their mind automatically went to, it's because we didn't bring the bread and the fish. He's sore with us or he's upset with us. It's natural for our mind to go to the natural things. I thought of Peter. So we've talked to the young, we've talked to the old. Now we can talk to the rest of us who are in our, well, maybe I'm young, maybe I'm old, I'm not sure which anymore. Maybe we're in our middle life crisis, I don't know. But you're not sure about things. You can get into the middle ages of life, or maybe you're not old yet and the children are gone, but life has occurred. Things have gone on. You have history and things that you can look at. And I thought of Peter and what Jesus left him with. All that Peter had done and the different, I'll call them failures of Peter, or the places where he misstepped. Yet, do you remember what Jesus told him, one of the last things he told him? He asked Peter something specific. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? His question was to his passion. His question was, Peter, what's your motivation? And when Peter said, thou knowest, Lord, you know that I love you, then his response was, then I have a job for you. I have a need for you. I have something for you to fulfill that only you can fill, Peter. And I don't know all that, Peter's just one example. But we can point to many examples throughout time where God has taken what's been left of a life, what's been left of a human form, and when it's given into the hand of God, God is able to make great things happen from simply a faithful vessel. I thought of also the scripture that talks about, I believe it was Paul that was writing, that he said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's an anointing and blessing when it's not from the physical attribute. There's something special when it's only God that can come in and begin to anoint and bless something. If it's my talent, if I look at it and say, oh, I have this on hand and the Lord had need of it, it's very much different when I realize I don't have much. And when I give it to God, he begins to expound and begins to move on that. Do you remember when, I believe it was Paul. Paul said, I come not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. He said that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when we feel that call and God begins to move on us, and the enemy begins to point at the inefficiencies and the incapabilities and the places where maybe I've failed, or maybe the places where I felt like I've come short, or maybe I think in my sphere of influence, I'm a young person and don't have all the knowledge, and how can I fill this place or this position or whatever it is the Lord is calling me to. Or maybe it's because I'm older and the season of life has changed. And I look at what's around me and I feel inefficient. God is still saying it's the demonstration of my power through your life. The desire is that the witness is to him. The desire is that the confidence of those that we're in contact with points back to the source of something that goes beyond you and I. I don't know how many times, and I'm just sharing my own personal testimony and my own ministry and endeavor to live for God, that you get up on Sunday morning and maybe it just doesn't feel all just perfect and wonderful. I don't feel a lot of the passion that Brother Marty was talking about this morning. But I have found time and time again that God is faithful. And what I think was just a little loaf and a little fish may have still only been a little loaf and a little fish. But he found a way to add the seasoning. He finds the way to bring the anointing. He finds the way to bring the increase. And what he needs is the faithful heart and the faithful hands. Our passion, as we heard this morning, is going to get us a long ways. But the thing that distracts us and dissuades us is as we begin to look at ourselves and not able to see the power of the hand of God, of what he's able to accomplish in our life. It's something to think about that the creator of the universe, the one that you can behold his majesty and his splendor, and at just his word held the stars in place, and You can debate how much long ago those stars were lit up because of how long it takes for the light to reach us. All of that just testifies even greater to the majesty and the power that's in the hand of God. But when it comes to His work, when it comes to the efforts that He has on our behalf, and I guess maybe this has been a personal challenge for myself, that it's not about folding our hands and stepping back and saying, well, God is powerful. He can accomplish everything in His own might. Look at what He can do with the stars. Certainly doesn't need me in that place. But the reality is God has anointed it this way. He has chosen this way to use us and to accomplish His will, to perfect in us His salvation, that it might testify to Him, that those that are around us might witness the ambassadorship of who Christ is and what He can do in our life. And I'll take this a step further in some of these different examples that we read. Some of them we have more history on. Some of them we have more background on. But there was a history and a life. And when we think about the cult that was in that place, there is an ordainment that God puts in place on our lives. Some of the things that we go through, some of the sequences, some of the events, some of the challenges in life are for the purpose of preparing us for a time and for a place. May not fully understand even some of my own weaknesses and some of the thorns in the flesh that we may endure. But God has a purpose for them. There's a reason that we go through the things and maybe the baggage that I carry or what I look at in my personality as deficiencies or, Lord, if I just wasn't this way naturally. But there's a purpose for it. And there's an accounting or there's a ministry that God is able to use for the difficult things that we experience in life. And I think if we could see it through some of those eyes sometimes, we might find a little inspiration in what God sees in the work and the impact of His gospel in our lives. I know sometimes I think about what Brother Clifford Wilson used to say, that he wanted to see himself in the eyes of God and be able to see himself in that way. And you correct me if I've got it wrong. But I understand that he felt like the Lord talked to his heart and said, you couldn't handle it. If I was to show you what I see, then you'd get discouraged and give up. So the reality is this morning is where we find our own justified place, our own capability, is when we look at our talents and what we think we can accomplish, and we look at our own abilities, and we base our efficiency and what we think God can use us based on those parameters and those skill sets. When the reality is God sees really the work that He's been working on, and it's a body of work that's taken time and His grace and His mercy and His faithfulness to us, that maybe we didn't even realize what God was doing on our behalf. So part of my burden this morning or this afternoon is that we would lift our eyes beyond the inefficiencies of our human ability, that we'd look beyond what we see as circumstances. I know at home we have a lot of young people, or they're older now, but children of those that have been faithful, and they see the hardship that's in their life, and you see the difficult things that they're embroiled in. And many times the enemy points at the natural and it feels as if it's a lost cause, that there's no way God can get through what they're involved in or the places that they're in life. But it's when we're looking at the natural that we begin to find that discouragement. When we begin to look at the power of God and His capability, and He says He has need of us, when He has a need of our prayers in those places, when He desires for us to speak the words in the right moment, or if it's the act of kindness that God has called us to, or whatever the burden that the Lord has placed on our hearts, we begin to realize when we look at His power and His capability, we couldn't feed the 4,000. We couldn't have stood in the fire in the midst of the storm. We couldn't have denied and restored. We couldn't have taken the oil and made it last for days in and days out and continued and continued. And it's just the same, that if I were to take the circumstances of things that I'm faced with, I couldn't begin to change them and affect them. But by the power of God, as we stand in the faithful place that He has called us to. And this afternoon, it doesn't just apply to one area. It doesn't apply only to one season and one time. It's not just to the mighty and to the noble. It's not just to those that have everything perfect and wonderfully in order. And from the outset, it looks as if the life is just totally wonderful and in perfect position. I remember one time someone came over to our house, and we had been actually going through a difficult time. And they made comment about, oh, you just have the perfect little family and home, don't you? And I'm thinking, if you only knew some of the things that we're going through right now. From the outset, it looked one way. But God has a purpose for each one of us in the places where we're at. And the enemy's desire is to dissuade and to distract and point to the inefficiencies and the struggles that we're facing. And if we take that approach, if we allow him to cause us to look at things in that way, then you're going to find that the passion starts to go down. You're going to find that your zeal and your desire and your anticipation of what God is going to do begins to sap and just decrease till you're like a dead battery and there's just no fire left. I find that there's another aspect of this. We don't have to take time to read it, but it talks about the different members that are in the body. And it says that there are all different kinds of members. There's those that are pretty and those that aren't pretty. There's those that look like they're very useful, and there's those that look like, yeah, I'm not sure they even have a use. But it teaches us that there's a purpose for every member of the body. Not just the ones that maybe we behold as, look at this great muscle, or look at this beautiful hand and the way it's being created, the way that it feeds us, or whatever. You can be amazed by the beauty of the body and what God has developed and created. But there's a purpose for every aspect and every placement where God has placed it. There's an anointing. There's a ministry. There's a ministry that not only ministers to the rest of the body, but allows it to be healthy and to minister to that which is around us. It's my fear sometimes, and maybe it's again just my challenge, but that the enemy likes to point at these places and to convince us of our uselessness and our place of that God doesn't need us. Or that if there's a need there, then someone else can fill it, much more qualified than myself. But if there was a colt tied in a specific place at a specific time and the Lord had need of it, I'm sure he has need of each and every one of us. Sometimes I think of the donkey that carried Balaam. The Lord used the donkey to talk to him. And if he can make a donkey speak, and I'll tell you, there's been many a Sunday morning I've taken inspiration from that. Lord, if you can make a donkey speak, surely you can give anointing this morning in prayer meeting or in service or whatever it is. But the Lord has need of us this morning. And it's not enough for us to simply stand back and yes, it's good to wait for the salvation of the Lord, but he needs us stepping out on faith, being used of him, being put in the place where he's called us to. The timing, the purpose that is in our life is definite. It's not just happenstance. The donkey just didn't happen to be tied there in a moment. But the Lord had need of it in a period and in a time. I'd like to read in Romans in the 8th chapter. The 28th verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" This calling doesn't just rest on a few. The predestination to be conformed to the image of his Son is to each and every one of us. And it says, those who he's called, he's justified. It's his job to clean me up, to make me right, to work in me his perfect work. As I'm faithful to him, we sing the song in Sunday school this morning. He's still working on me. It's my testimony most of the time. Lord, I keep finding somewhere else that I maybe need some help, or there's an area that I need you to work on me in. It's his work. It's his justification. It's by his blood and by his mercy and by his grace that I'm where I am, or that I'm able to live in the place or to be used in an area. It's not according to our strength. And if he's done the justification, if he's done the calling, then it's the glory is his then. It's his work. It's his effort. I'm quite certain that as the Lord used the disciples in the olden days and many of the miracles, I'm sure they didn't go home and look at each other and say, "Wow, you did a good job today." No doubt they were humbled and in awe of what God had performed by simple man's hands. And I think this afternoon, as we take the message we heard this morning and we find our passion in the Lord, and my prayer is, Lord, reignite that passion. If I have a fear for our time and our generation, it's that we're falling asleep and that we're losing the idea and the concept of what God is able to do for us if we'll step out. My prayer, my desire is that I'll be faithful to Him. He has need of me this afternoon in every aspect of my life. Those that I know, those that I work with, those that I used to know that I don't keep in contact with any longer, those in my neighborhood. Dad mentioned this morning about a family that lives close to us. And as we watch the train wreck of their home and their life, do we simply sit on the sidelines or do we step out? Lord has need of us in these places. And we think back and maybe a Sunday school time and there were those that gathered the children and brought them. Who's carrying on those places? Who's carrying the burden for those that need it? And those children now, many were friends of them on Facebook. Maybe they're far off. Maybe they're a long ways from what they heard when they were young. But I believe there was a seed planted. There was something that was put in their heart. There was something that God is able to minister to. But it took somebody with the willing hands that the Lord said, I have need of you in this place. I don't mean to beat you up this afternoon. I want to inspire you that God had need of us. He has a place for us to work in. And as we'll take this passion and we'll allow the Lord to ignite it and be excited about His work, don't let the enemy point at the deficiencies. Don't let him point at your incapabilities, because I promise you, you are. I promise you, you don't have on hand what it takes. I can guarantee you that. And if you go into it thinking I've got it all figured out, then you're going to find out real quick how big Goliath really is. When we find our confidence in the Lord and we rest on Him, then He's able to slay mighty giants. We're able to march around the cities that will fall, but they had to step out on faith, believing that God had a purpose for them. I ask you, pray for me. I want this passion, I want this desire to ring true in my heart. I want to remain in a place where God will use me and be able to have an impact in His gospel. My prayer is that we as a church, we as the city of God, as the people of God, that we don't fall asleep in our time and our generation, but that we're stepping out and gaining the ground that God has for us. Pray for me.